Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tough Conversations. Today, we'll be doing a match review of the FC Barcelona Champions League encounter versus Paris Saint-Germain on Wednesday night, 1st of October. It was a very, 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 very good game. It was a game of clashing, should I say, expertise from both managers. It was a game where a lot of quality was on the pitch at the same time, and it was truly enjoyable, even though as a Barcelona fan, it stung a bit to lose at the end of that game. Joining me for this conversation is the ever-present analyst Kenis. How do you do?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good that we have opportunity to discuss about that match because I have a lot of things to take out of my chest, really.
All
So
right,
let's
very
get
much
into it.
so. Let's get straight right into it. Obviously, we have to talk about the lineups. That was a bit of a strange one, even though in the match preview, Samito, who isn't here right now, did mention that he would expect Eric Garcia to start, and it felt like a bit. And I asked, is it at right back or centre back? And he mentioned centre back. It was a bit strange at the time, but it wasn't strange when the lineups came out on the night, which was quite. It took me aback. I don't know if it did take you aback. And then obviously, Lamine Yamal returning from injury, even though it was just reported right now that he will be missing 2 to 3 weeks of football during the international break. Lamine Yamal started on the right-hand side of the attack. Dani Olmo behind Ferran Torres in attack and Rashford on the left-hand side, who for me had a good game, a good enough game. What were the surprises for you in the starting lineup for Football Club Barcelona?
The Eric Garcia surprised me. I was in the podcast when Samito said that, but I felt like that would be like a very big decision to take. But at the end of the day, when I saw the lineup, I felt that okay, maybe because we do not have people who are aside Bakola. They are lacking Dembele and Carrasquilla, who are proper runners, and probably Eric Garcia can deal with that. And that's like off possession. Then while we have the ball, Eric Garcia is one of the guys that can easily break the line. So I could see the reason why Eric Garcia started, even though I didn't like accept it totally, but it's not what I would do, but I could see the logic behind that.
Well, to be honest, go heading into the game, the questions being asked were, we knew PSG were going to press very, very high. We knew they were going to fight for every possession because they have a manager who does not negotiate possession. And the first half, to be very honest, if we have to put things into context, Barcelona were the better team. And even if you want to look at statistics for people who say, oh, that's not entirely true. Barcelona created more chances in the first half than Paris Saint-Germain. We had the better chances, even though we created, should I say, we created more and we also created better chances than PSG in that first half. For the first 30 to 35 minutes of that first half, I thought Hansi Flick got it spot on. We were pressing, we controlled the game, we had more possession of the ball. Up until at least the 35th minute of that game, people said first 30 minutes. I said first 35 minutes of that game. We scored. Ferran Torres, before he even scored, Lamine Yamal put him through on goal. He rounded off the goalkeeper, shot on goal, and Szczęsny made a goal line clearance to save the day. And a quick press, counter pressure from Barcelona on Vitinha, who lost possession of the ball right in front of his box, and we capitalized on it very quickly. Rashford finding Ferran Torres inside the box. Ferran Torres capitalized on it quickly, and we went into a 1-0 lead. Who, for me, at the time, at the 19th minute, It looked as if we were sailing home. And there was a penalty call incident involving Zabanyi again versus Eric Garcia, who I thought, looking at that incident again, I thought it was a very, very, very clear penalty. But I guess Michael Oliver decided not to award it. And right after that incident, I felt everything changed. PSG realized they had very good players on the pitch, even though they were still missing a good ton of their starters. They started positioning well, they started pressing well, they started moving the ball around. And Barcelona, one of the easiest ways, of course, to nullify Barcelona is starving them of the ball. But you have to have quality to starve Barcelona off the ball. So from the 35th minute till the 90th minute, I felt it was all PSG. What were your takes watching the game in the first 30 minutes or first 30 to 35 minutes?
I felt that we came into the, in the first 30 minutes. I felt we were doing well. The ideas were there, what we wanted to do was there. We took away the ball from them. We were able to control space. We're not playing so quick. We knocked the ball around. They did suffer. We could have gone two goals up in the first 30 minutes. We were way more superior than PSG in the first 30 minutes, and it was looking like we're going to take the 3 points, and we could have, had doubled our lead within those period. So for me, the game plan was working. We were also having to contain their press because now we have the ball, they're pressing relentlessly. They had the two fullbacks who could hold Lamine Yamal and Rashford, who were pinning them to the wings. They had their last line coming very high as well to try to win duels and to make the space in which they were doing the chasing to make it smaller and more difficult for us to keep the ball. So we're superior than PSG in the first 30 minutes, and it was like our best the best duration we played our game in the time.
I felt the same at the time watching the game as well. I thought the thing about football is you take your moments. And even before the 19th minute where Ferran scored, we're on top of them. I felt we were really on top of them. The game plan was working efficiently. And I got to understand why he now started Eric Garcia and Kubasi, who are obviously the best ball playing centre backs we have on the team currently. We kept cutting through PSG's press. At no time did Frankie and Pedri look, dissatisfied with the game, desensitized off the game. Lamine Yamal got a lot of touches. I mean, the first minute, Lamine Yamal beat two, three players, sent Ferran through on goal. If Ferran had, raised his head, he probably would have picked out Rashford in the box in the first minute of the game. So, I mean, I thought that set the tone for the game. But after that, that's where the actual game started. And let's talk about PSG's first goal. It was a build-up play. Like I said, we're pressing efficiently. But this is something we've come to notice with Hansi Flick's Barcelona side. At a point, always in every game, in fact, against the bigger teams, we've seen it time and again, our fullbacks fail to implement the pressing system or the pressing structure. And we have been complaining again and again. This was how Inter Milan got past us a lot of the time in that Champions League semi-final. The ball was filtered out to Pacho. He didn't go long. We were expecting him to go long. He gave a side row pass to Nuno Mendes, played a 1-2, who played a 1-2 with Bakola and had space in front of him. I expected Koundé, who actually did not catch up with Nuno Mendes when the Before he played the 1-2 with Bakola, I expected him, when he eventually caught up with Nuno Mendes, to take one for the team because that had already played out. That scenario had already played out in prior to the equalizer from Mayulu, where Nuno Mendes himself found himself running through on goal, just running at our defense. And Frankie had to take one for the team. And I felt like Koundé, with all his experience, this is a 26-year-old defender. I mean, it was late in the first half. You go into halftime break with a lead. It's always paramount to protect that lead. And I felt he should have taken Nuno Mendes out immediately at that particular time and considered the free kick, which I believe they wouldn't definitely score from, because I don't think they were threatening from set pieces all throughout the game, even in the second half when they had total control of the game. So obviously, Nuno Mendes squared the ball to Mayulu, and Kubasi made a fatal mistake going down there for a challenge where I felt it was just unnecessary. And we've been saying this again, it's become a rhetoric with Kubasi. You're going down too easily. You are giving an opponent a chance to take advantage of that. And obviously, the young midfielder, actually, but he played as a center forward in the last game and took advantage of it and netted the equalizer. That whole sequence, can you walk us through what were the mistakes from Hansi Flick's system and which individual players made significant errors for that particular goal?
Is it their very first goal?
Yes, the equalizer.
I felt the shape was good, but the duels was not, because once the team, the opposition is in your half and they are making runs, and you can see how open you guys are, regardless of how many guys you have at your back, it could really be risky when people are making runs and trying to get in behind you. I felt Koundé didn't want to foul Nuno Mendes. I cannot remember him being on card, but I felt he could have killed that attack there. That was pretty much it. Then the Kubasi was just mistiming again. I know he's 18 years and it's so difficult for me to call him out because he shouldn't be playing at that level, but it's what it is. That's what we can afford. And he has also shown like immense courage and ability to also play at that level. But for me, it was on Koundé and Kubasi. Then again, I can't say Frankie de Jong because he already had a card, and so he couldn't do anything at the point where Nuno Mendes was progressing. So yeah.
Well, that happened, and PSG went into the half as the stronger team, because immediately after that they created another big chance and Bakula missed. So that goal I felt brought them back into the game, and Luis Enrique showed right after that he truly is the best manager in the world. Talk us through his halftime game change, game adjustment, because he did not make any substitutions at halftime. So how come they were so superior in the second half? Because these are the statistics of the second half versus PSG. In the second half, PSG had, they created two big chances. They had double the amount of our shots. Our goalkeeper made four saves in the second half. And more importantly, and more devastatingly, they had 64% of the ball. That is where you actually crumble Barcelona, when you starve them off the ball. Not even when you press them high, when you completely take the ball away from them. So what actual should I say, in-game adjustments did Luis Enrique make that Hansi Flick could not counter in that all-important second half?
First of all, I've always believed that when two teams that are very big on possession meet themselves, it's usually the team who has more athleticism, who has more pace and power. Generally, the more physically fit team, they come on top, they trump the other team. And they had that in that match. I think Nuno Mendes showed them what was possible. He made the very first run. He was already in front of our box. Frankie tripped him. He made the second run, and that resulted to a goal. So they saw the possibilities of what they could do with the fullbacks. And then again, there was nothing to lose because they were already 1-0 down, and so they had to take the level of risks they were not taking earlier in the game, and especially because they've seen the possibility. Look at it this way. We had guys who were injured. They had guys who were also injured. Of course, I agree that our guys are key, especially for the pressing, the presence of Fermi Lopez and Rafinha. But they had five of them. They had their three starters out. They had one other guy in the midfield, Neves, and they had their captain out. So, and they were fielding guys who we've never really seen before at that level. So I felt that Luis Enrique, knowing him well and what he could do, he would be telling them that what do we have to lose? And if anything happens, we know that we are not complete, but we have to give them a fight. You have to play freely. The new guys have to enjoy the game. So I felt it was pretty much a psychological shift on the part of the PSG. Give them room to play freely because we were conditioning them because of how we played. They were careful, they didn't want to make mistakes. The fullbacks were how do I say, they were not so confident going forward, knowing fully well that we've got Rashford and we've got Lamine Yamal. You would agree with me that even when they took that risk, our wingers had like they saw great opportunities and great chances to create when PSG were taking that risk. But at the end of the day, they managed to get the win. So as soon as they started to play their game and express themselves freely, I think our intensity started to drop and they finished us off because at the time we couldn't even put together five good passes. And they saw that we lacked the physicality and intensity to play at that level, and they really took advantage of that.
For me, the most important tactical adjustment that Luis Enrique made, and for me, I've only seen another manager make this against us, Iñigo Perez at Rayo Vallecano in our last game versus Rayo. He came into that second half and he knew exactly what to do. In the first half, Pedri had, I believe, over 40 touches of the ball. In the second half, Pedri made less than 20 touches of the ball. That is night and day. This is Pedri who has averaged 90 touches of the ball this season, 2025-2026 season, averaging even more touches of the ball than last season. This is more than a metronome at this point, Pedri, because last season we saw his defensive abilities improve. This season, we are seeing him become a total footballer, creating opportunities, controlling the midfield, expressing himself. I felt that Luis Enrique knew exactly what to do, and the tackles, the hacking, the kicking on Pedri improved significantly in the second half, and that took completely away all of our tools. I felt, or I'd rather know that the more touches Pedri has, the more Barcelona ticks. The more Lamine touches the ball, the more Barcelona gets dangerous. And if you want Lamine Yamal to touch the ball less, obviously your next best thing is to get touch tight with Pedri. You take the ball away from Pedri, you hack him, and I think you completely control the flow, the flow of the game. And that's exactly what happened. And we really have to talk about Dani Olmo as a footballer. This is not just about Hansi Flick's ability not to adapt or anything at this stage right now. We need to talk about Dani Olmo as a footballer because Fermín López, not just last season, not just the season before that, even this season, has shown to us what an actual dynamic number 10 can actually look like. If you are not going to help us in midfield as the third midfielder who can help Pedri and Frenkie, at the very least, the least you can actually do is contribute significantly to the attack. And at this point, Dani Olmo simply cannot do that. It begs the question, what next? Welcome to the show, Samito. We're talking about the preview, rather the review of Football Club Barcelona versus PSG on Wednesday. We're talking about what tactical adjustment did you think Luis Enrique made in the second half that completely swayed the game towards PSG's favor, and it remained that way to the end of the game.
All right. Oh, I didn't know I was unmuted.
Sorry about the background noise. All right,
Okay.
thanks for having me, guys. So the tactical part that I saw, which was obvious from the second half. Actually, at the beginning of the second half, I was hopeful because I know Hansi Flick is a man that does things in the second half as well. But to my greater surprise, there was not only just a second half tactical tweak from Enrique, but even while the second half was on, there was tactical tweak from him. And I saw very obviously that the right flank was overloaded by Enrique. And that's the reason Mendes could take on players. So Enrique overloaded the right flank so much that almost throughout the second half, Lamine Yamal could barely receive the ball. He barely attempted take-ons. And the obvious part of the first half and the second half was the plan to stop Pedri was kicking him. And I don't think it is fair on him because footballers like Pedri should be protected. Nobody's saying to give him a foul when there is no foul. But when there is an intention to play dark arts football, as it is called, it puts great players like this at risk. So
But
the kicking were too much.
the truth of the matter, Samito, is that at this level of football, dark art is more than encouraged. It in fact it is if you do not do it as a team, then you are not ready to take the next step. Because we're talking about the first goal we conceded, where Koundé made the rash decision to press and lose his man. And then recovered in time. Instead of taking the yellow card for the team, he decided to let Nuno Mendes walk past, knowing fully well Frankie was already on a yellow card. Unfortunately for Kubasi, I don't know whether he slipped or he mistimed that tackle, and Mayulu was through on goal. If it were to be the other way around, you can best believe that Hakimi or Nuno Mendes, who we're actually going to come to, was going to take a yellow card at that particular spot. So, I know Pedri is, like I said, this season he has gone from a metronome into something else. This type of player should be protected, yes. But at this level of football, the dark arts, it's actually encouraged. So, yes, you can continue with your submission.
There's no dispute about that. There's no dispute about that. I'm just talking of, when it gets too much, it's actually punishable. And I saw a picture of Pedri's leg after the match. It was as if he went into a battlefield without fingered. And Pedri usually wears short socks. And himself and Fermin Lopez for reasons maybe for comfortability. So that's how it was for him. So I think, while it is a part of football, there should be a limit to it. Pedri is not even a player who throws himself on the floor, but we saw that too many times the other day. And with the tactical approach, with what you said with reference to Kubasi, I understood what happened to Kubasi. So at the point when Nuno Mendes was supposed to make the pass, Frankie de Jong was in Kubasi's line of sight. I watched that replay properly. He was in Kubasi's line of sight trying to tackle Nuno Mendes. And remember, Kubasi was coming from LCB to right center back to cover in for Eric, who had gone to press all the way in the final third. So, coming this direction and then the pass going the other direction. So, yes. The mistiming was because he saw that move late. So, yeah, we can put it that way. But back to the question of the second half, and even the second goal we conceded, it was an out of position, wrong positioning as well, because Kubasi pressed all the way in the final third, and then Balde pressed as well. But then we saw Balde going into the middle, which was very strange. It was a pretty strange position for a left back to be when there is a right back like Hakimi up there. So it was a pretty strange position, and it happened. And so this is just evidence. This is just evidence that the positions of these players at the time has nothing to do with their own discretion. I think this is just a system. It is a systemic way of how Flick wants to press, which brings me to the point you've always made about the number 10 rule and how, it should be scrapped and all that. You understand that, I mean, there could be dynamic number 10s who can still mid game, manage. Omo almost does nothing apart from looking for space to shoot and then, trying to be skillful and, I excuse my language, but without respect, without disrespect, no disrespect intended. So that's what he almost always does. But then you, as a number 10, you can overlap, help on the wing, help in the middle. It almost felt like we were playing with two midfield. That's why as soon as Frankie got a yellow card,
It
the
reduced to
midfield
one.
was, you
It actually
understand?
reduced to one because we're no longer he was no
You
longer interested
understand?
in dwelling.
So for almost half the whole season when Omo plays, it feels like we are playing with 10 men when we are defending or when we have to keep the ball. But when we are attacking, of course, it's 11 men because he's involved in that. And there's much more to scoring goals than just, there's much more to football than, scoring goals.
Always
So
looking to score
I
the
think
goal.
that is how Enrique out, classed Flick in the second half. And Flick didn't respond because all through the second half, I think he could have kept Rashford on as well because Rashford could have provided an alternative to sprinting since the right side was, loaded. But then I guess the hierarchy, Ferran is definitely higher than Rashford as of now, regardless of what Rashford has to offer. So.
Yes, we're going to quickly talk about the substitution. For me, were disastrous. Every single substitution made us poor, and the timing of the substitutions w were more than disastrous. You into the game, even though yes, Nuno Mendes should have should have gotten his marching orders. I believe in the 60th minute for fouling Yamal right at the edge of the box, and the game would have obviously turned towards our own favor. But up until that stage, I think that was our only first real opportunity. 15 minutes into the second half, I expected Hansi Flick to look at that game and say to himself, you know what? We are being tossed around in midfield. The next best thing, in the absence of, intensity footballers like Gavi, Fermín López in midfield, is to play, bring in Casado and move into a 4-3-3 shape, or at least move Frenkie or Pedri higher up. Frenkie in particular, since he was on a yellow card, that would have been a better way to respond to getting tossed around in midfield. We had less than 40% of the ball in the second half, and that is not acceptable at Football Club Barcelona. This is not Real Madrid. And even if we had won that game, maybe in the 90th minute, instead of conceding, Barcelona players or Barcelona fans will know deep down that we were completely outplayed, especially in the second half. Coming to you, analyst Kenis, what's the way forward? What's the next thing for Football Club Barcelona? What approach should we take, especially in these big games? Because I'm tired of coming here or coming on X and repeating myself over and over and over again. In the 90th minute, you do not need to be Bordelas. You do not need to be José Mourinho in his prime at Chelsea and Inter Milan to know that your line, your defensive line, cannot be at the halfway line in the 90th minute. Look at the PSG we're actually going to press. Where they are lying on the halfway line, and this is an ultra attacking manager. So, what exactly is our problem? This has happened versus Atletico Madrid, Solot 2-1 at home, where we lost at the same Montjuic. This has happened at Atletico Madrid again, 4-4 in the Copa del Rey semi-final, the same Solot guy. This has happened again versus Inter Milan, where we were 2 goals down, we rallied our way up, 3-2 up, and then you kept your line at the halfway line. This has yet again happened versus PSG in a game where we're completely outplayed and definitely lost by a dagger in the 90th minute by Gonzalo Ramos. What is the next step for us as a football club, as a team?
Honestly, I share the same sentiment with you. I really wish that Hansi Flick is going to adjust that line. I've said that so many times. When we played Atletico Madrid and came back, I think it was 4-4. I
Yeah,
made a tweet
four.
saying that this is exactly how Inter Milan was going to play, and I was scared playing Inter Milan. And you could tell that it's pretty much a game of basketball. We conceded 7 goals in that semi-finals. and does not start this season. So I understand the benefits of the high risk daring. So it is high reward, but the probability of the loss is high as well, and the impact is very high. The negative impact is very high. So I'm not as a flake, and I sincerely do not see him changing. But I would love that, first off, that he readjusts. It cuts off the number 10 role, first off, to create a balance in the midfield, as well as adjust that line. I think it's the way forward. I do not expect him to win the Champions League this way. I am worried if he can get us over the line if he keeps setting up like this, because we would always beat Benfica, Dortmund, probably. Would always beat these teams, but away like to their home semi-finals, Champions League, or even quarterfinals in big games. Are we going to? Can we sustain, the game playing like this? Can we go all the way playing like this? And the problem is not that we are not going to score. If we are playing at full strength, we have Pedri, Frenkie, Yamal, Rafinha, Lewandowski, Ferran Torres, we would always score. Like, I cannot remember the last time we played, like, we didn't score in a game. So we'd always score. We'd probably score as much as the opposition. But the fact that we concede chances, it just takes a very good run, a well-timed run to score us. And people would say things like, we should, if he wants us to do it, if he wants the defender should to do it, then they should do it perfectly. That they should perfect it. But I also remember that last season we had like three players who scored hat-trick against Barcelona. It was simply because they figured how to play us. Mbappe
Delta,
did,
Va
Pavli did at Benfica
at
did.
Benfica, the Celta
I think
striker and Guirassy at Dortmund. Four hat tricks.
who's
So
Guirassy
four.
at Dortmund?
Yeah,
Mbappe as
four hat
well.
tricks to strikers.
So
Four
four.
hat
So
tricks.
four. It tells you that these are guys that have sat down to watch what we do and see how they can exploit that. So we probably won this game, especially the Mbappe one, because we scored four. Are we always going to be that? I don't want to say lucky. Are we going to be that efficient always to beat teams like that? That's the question. I do not see Hansi Flick changing that, but I think the best thing would be to change that. So at least adjust the line.
All right, thank you for your inputs. As we round up, Samito, could you quickly just, in a few words, tell us what is the next step? Not concerning the Highland per se, but in general, what is the next step for this team?
The next step for this team, I think we need to find motivation. I in the tactics aside and Flick aside, from the beginning of this season, I do not see as much fire as I saw last season. Not yet. It's too early, but I do not see as much. So I think the boys need to pick motivation. I really hope the reopening of the Camp Nou can be a good avenue for that. And I think Hansi Flick on his own, beside the high line, the pressing can be readjusted. It's the same pressing as last season. We are yet to meet a team that plays 3-4-2-1 with fullbacks. We are yet to meet them this season. If we meet such this season, there is a high probability they might go ahead and score 3-4 goals against us again.
Our
Is
next
that how
game
we
is
want to
versus
continue?
Sevilla. Our next game versus Sevilla, they play with a three back and with wing backs. And Lamine Yamal is not going to be available for that game. And Pedri is on borderline fatigued and injured. So I understand what you're talking about. And honestly, I'm not looking forward to that game.
So I think that's something that should be adjusted. There is not one of the biggest club, the most interesting football I have watched in my life as a Barcelona fan. We're not highline football. We're not building highline. It has its benefits. But the point where a benefit of something is close to the risk, at that point you should start readjusting it. Like Alan Liskane said earlier on, are we going to be that? I will use the word lucky because are we going to be that lucky always? I do not think so.
Well, I think you guys have said the right things. I believe motivation is lacking in some extent. I believe some players now feel a bit too much ego to run around for their own teammates. I believe Hansi Flick himself has been found out a couple of times this season versus Levante, versus Rayo, and now versus PSG. There needs to be a balance between attack and defense. And until that balance is struck, hopefully this international break coming as a Flick and his assistant sit down and analyze what exactly is going on with his team. But that's it for this episode. Thank you for coming on board. Thank you, Analyst Kenneth. Thank you, Samito, for taking the time to coming around to talk about Football Club Barcelona, as we love this club more than anything else. As for returning subscribers, like, share, subscribe. And like I said, we will be on YouTube and it is very, very close. Thank you guys for coming on board. See you guys next time.